Greetings and welcome into the CBMW podcast, your refuge from the sexual revolution and safe space from our culture's gender insanity. Hey, we're coming with some good news today. Oh, by the way, I'm your host, Jonathan Swan, executive editor of Icon, a journal for biblical anthropology, and I am joined by the full slate of guests, hosts, Colin Smothers, our executive director at CBMW, and Denny Burke, El Presidente, the president of CBMW. Guys, welcome in once again.
We're the permanent guests of the CBMW podcast.
You're the permanent, you're the deep state.
I got demoted to a guest there for a second. What's that all about,
Jonathan?
I'm sorry.
It slipped out.
I'm a guest in my own house here.
Yeah. You guys were here before me, but you're the guest now. This is a hostile takeover once again. Hey, we have some good news. Coming out of a horrific story, we have some good news. On Friday, January 30th, America witnessed the first case where a detransitioner was awarded financial compensation for damages based on a medical malpractice suit involving a psychologist who recommended a mastectomy and a plastic surgeon who performed it. The case involves Fox Varian, a female who, after years of mental struggles, began identifying as a male. Within about 11 months of starting this social transition, at age 16, she underwent that mastectomy. She claims she instantly regretted. A civil jury in New York awarded her $2 million after concluding that this psychologist and the plastic surgeon who performed it did not follow the current medical standards prior to the surgery. Denny, what other dynamics, important details of this case should people be aware of?
Well, the most important aspect of this is probably what we are hoping the result is going to be. And one of the things that is reported in the Free Beacon did this massive story on the
Free Press.
The Free Press. The Free Press did this massive story on what happened with this case. And they say the Free Press says that legal experts believe Varian's victory could inspire a wave of similar cases that would significantly disrupt pediatric gender medicine. Meaning, this isn't the end of something. Hopefully, this is the beginning of something. And I've been saying this for a long time. I speak all over the country about transgender issues and about what's been going on with kids and how their bodies are being harmed by these invasive, horrific therapies, including surgeries, like life-altering surgeries. And everywhere I go, I say the thing that is going to have to change before anybody listens is for there to be a lawsuit. As soon as the first lawsuit, one of these detransitioners comes forward and wins a lawsuit, that's going to change everything. It had already happened in Great Britain. And in Great Britain, there was a child named Kira Bell who sued and who won at the lower level. I think that, you know, her case was overturned on appeal, but it didn't matter. Once there was, you know, a court case won, it became this perilous thing for medical providers to be involved in these macabre and ghoulish procedures. And so they began backing off. And that had already been going on in Great Britain, but we have been going on for years since all of that here in the United States, full steam ahead with medical providers doing these quote unquote gender affirmation surgeries, which is a euphemism for we're going to mutilate and castrate and make infertile, you know, healthy young children. And so our medical establishment got involved in this and had been doing this. You've had thousands of children go through some sort of a procedure over the years. And Fox Varian, you know, unfortunately, when she was 15 years old, she got in with a psychologist and with a surgeon that were basically greasing the skids for her to have this intervention in her life. And it's when you read the details of it, it's beyond frustrating. And for one thing, the medical doctor, the surgeon that removed her healthy breasts met with her twice over the period of about a year, I think. And the surgeon had two 30-minute appointments with her before performing this surgery. And I think the rest of it, he was just relying on whatever the psychologist told him. And what the trial brought out was the way that the psychologist just failed. I mean, flat failed Fox Varian. and what his duties were. One thing that I do think is interesting that the Free Press brings out that a lot of people just casually looking at the headlines might miss is that, you know, Fox Varian and her attorneys did not contest the current quote unquote standards of care. In other words, the medical establishment has baptized what's called gender affirming care, which is when you have these children who are expressing gender confusion, gender identity issues, and if they get diagnosed with what's called gender dysphoria, then they do this process called gender affirming care, which begins with you adopt pronouns and a name, and you start dressing in a way that associates with the opposite sex. Then if you're young enough, they may put you on puberty blockers, which keeps you from going through puberty. It also has all these other negative effects like stunting your bone growth. And, you know, women who've done this when they're 26, they have the bones of an 80-year-old because they suppress their puberty. But in any case, they suppress your puberty, and then they may put you on opposite sex hormones, which over time makes you completely infertile. And then finally, you don't even have to be an adult to do this. If you can just find a consenting parent, they'll put you under the knife. And for young women, what that means initially is quote unquote top surgery, where you have a double mastectomy and you remove, you know, healthy breasts. And what's so sad here with Fox Varian is that she's going through her, you know, gender confusion issues along with some other mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, anorexia. She has all these other what they call comorbidities, and she's being told by her doctor that if you do this, you know, this surgery, then it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make all those problems go away. It's not true. It was never true. But unfortunately for her, she was going through her struggles in the middle of a period of time in the 2010s when there was a fever that had gripped not just popular culture, but even the medical establishment. And this fever was ideologically driven, not scientifically driven. And the fever was telling kids that if you mutilate healthy sexual organs, that will make your psychological problems go away. That's what they were telling them. Well, it didn't work. And with Fox Varian, what happened was that not before she had the surgery, but after she had the surgery, then she started cutting herself. And then her doctor, her psychologist, began to have concerns about her actually harming herself and taking her life. And so it's just a very tragic case. And, you know, she was a minor, so you have to have a consent of a parent. But the mother testified in the trial and said that the psychologist browbeat her into this by telling her, if I don't consent to this, that she's going to kill herself. And so it was making her choose between the quote unquote dead daughter or live son, right? In other words, what do you want, mom? Would you rather have a dead daughter or a live son? That's the choice that they would put before these parents to manipulate them. And it happened to Fox Varian. It happened to her mother. And it's just really, really tragic. But they decided to sue and they won. And now everything's going to change. Even though they didn't challenge the standards of care, what this case does is it shows that the doctors who were doing, they didn't even meet their own standards of care. They were so careless here. So even if you disagree with the standards of care, there's still something here because of the negligence of these doctors and the fact that, you know, they don't meet their own standards. You know, she didn't have 6 months of a quote unquote stable gender identity. They just greased the skids for her, even though she was having doubts about it. And they were just like completely unaware of it.
Yeah. You know, Denny, to your point there, I believe the article referenced that part of the plaintiff's case was made for them by someone from WPATH, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. They are the ones who've been pushing transgender surgeries for years. And the Trump administration called them junk science earlier this year. We talked about that. But that organization actually testified against the psychologist and the doctors in this case.
Yeah.
That's how poorly this thing was done.
In fact, the doctor from WPATH said that he couldn't have supported this. You know, in other words, even WPATH wasn't on board with this. So, it's really astonishing. Yeah,
one more detail there, and Colin, I've got a question for you. The psychologist had sent her to some other sort of LGBT adjacent organization for further counseling. And at those appointments, it came out that she was actually unsettled about her new identity. But the psychologist never received notes or never tried to retrieve those notes about that. So he pushed this thing forward without actually fully understanding the case and then sends some 3-paragraph letter to the plastic surgeon to recommend this whole thing. So it really shows you, we can guarantee you this is not the only situation where this has occurred.
Well, and that's
things are rushed.
The thing that I wanted to point out with the rehearsal that Denny gave us is, you know, Denny, you called it a fever. It was definitely that, but I think it was more than that. It was an ideological warfare that was waged by one side of the political aisle, the progressive side, that this gender identity, this LGBT ideology was not only something that was good for people, but it was actually actively evil if you resisted and you opposed it. So, I mean, going back to, you know, post-Obergefell, it's like the progressive playbook was flipped and we had Bruce Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair. And then it was a full court press on transgender, gender identity, gender ideology. And we've been undergoing that for the last decade. The media, one of the main agents complicit. I mean, one of the things that the Free Press article highlighted was there was one reporter who was there at the trial through the whole thing, and that was the Free Press reporter. No other media outlet was even interested in this story, and that's why the Free Press was able to break it. But one of the things that happened was the gaslighting that was involved in all of this. I mean, do you remember, we were told, just like the psychologist told this mother, if you don't affirm these people, they are going to commit suicide en masse. If you don't affirm these people, they are not going to be able to experience human flourishing and satisfaction and happiness. Literally at every point, the exact opposite was taking place. I mean, there was one point, I think if you guys remember this, we were being told that these surgeries were not even happening on minors. It was a red herring for you to even oppose gender surgeries happening on minors because it's not happening. And here we have the first case settled against, you know, these very medical establishments that were propagating this stuff. So there was gaslighting at every single point of the way. I mean, one of the major headlines outside or in the aftermath of this major case is literally in the next couple of days after this story broke, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons comes out with recommendations, a position statement against doing these surgeries on minors. In other words, a major medical association says, we recommend you don't do these anymore. What were they waiting for? I mean, it's not as if this statement or the science was changed. There's a flurry of reports was published. No, what happened is the financial beneficial, the cost benefit analysis was done, and it looks like this is a losing issue now. Literally right after this, the National Review got in touch with the American Medical Association, asked them about it, and they said, yeah, there's not enough evidence to support doing these surgeries
which
on minors.
Unbelievable. Like the fact that the American Medical Association would say that to the National Review, and what was it called? The Association of what is it called?
The American Society of Plastic Surgeons.
Yeah, American Society of Plastic Surgeons. It's not like there's new data. Mm-mm. There's no new data. The political winds have changed, right? They're not operating off of data. It shows you they weren't operating off of data to begin with. They were operating off of ideology. And there, if you'll remember, you know, Abigail Schreier covered this in her book, but there was a doctor at a gender clinic, who, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, who dissented from this and was basically blackballed from the profession.
Absolutely.
So in other words, they were, these professional guilds were punishing people who didn't go along with this ideology or who even raised questions about it.
Oh, listen, Denny, I've got friends and family in the medical in medical programs right now, either in school, residency, or just recently out, who are being actively pressured right now to participate in these very kinds of things. And if you don't, your careers are jeopardized, your graduation,
your professional prospects. Licensure.
Absolutely. And so again, the gaslighting involved, I mean, it was the AMA back in 2021 that was actively telling state governments, remember that there were all these governments that were beginning to get laws against these gender transition surgeries for minors. It was the AMA who came out with an official statement and said, you are harming children if you oppose these surgeries. That was what, 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Listen, here's the thing. The sad thing is that all of this was so preventable. Mm-hmm. Like this happened, she went through this surgery in 2019. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, there was a fever that was going on throughout the 2010s, but there were voices all throughout the 2010s who were warning people about this. Paul McHugh, I'll never forget this article when I read it. He wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. He wrote an article in an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal warning people. And Paul McHugh was the head of pediatric pediatric surgery or pediatric psychiatry at Johns Hopkins for years. And he warned people that the science wasn't backing these interventions for people. And he says all these people think that they're going to get rid of their depression or their anxiety or their other mental disorders by going through this surgery. And he says the data does not show that having these surgeries erases these other comorbidities. These people would emerge on the other side of these surgeries, and they would fare no better than the people who didn't have surgeries when it came to their depression and even suicidality. So it was like he was citing the data in 12 years ago in the Wall Street Journal. I'll bring up another example, a major example. Ryan Anderson in 2018 came out with a book called When Harry Became Sally. And it was a wake up call to the world. It was a major
which Amazon move. Ended up banning off of their platform.
That's the thing. Ryan Anderson comes out with this book warning everyone about what gender affirming care is. He catalogs and documents the testimonies of I don't know how many detransitioners and how harmful these surgeries were to them and these interventions were to them. And within what, less than a year, what he got in return for this very helpful warning was Amazon banning his book. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. Amazon said, we cannot have that speech. And so what was happening through much of the 2010s is if you dissented from this, you were considered outside of the pale. And they were completely suppressing your voice. Paul McHugh published an entire review of scientific literature in the 2010s. And you had this gender ideological Gestapo suppressing all other kinds of, you know, dissent to this. And the media was going along with it. And Colin, you mentioned this, and I'm so exercised about this because so many children have been harmed by it. But I'm astonished. I mean, we owe a great debt to the Free Press for sending a reporter there. But the Free Press reporter who reported on this case said that they were the only one to attend the entire 3-week trial.
Yep.
The only reporter. And this is major, not just America news. This is major worldwide news. And no other news outlet is covering this.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this is an epoch making event. And only the Free Press is there. I mean, thank God for the Free Press, mm-hmm. you know, that we got the whole story and that we understood what happened here. And listen, I want to tell you, when you read through this report and you read through what this young woman went through, it is the exact thing that Abigail Schreier describes in her 2020 book, Irreversible Damage, right? And so 2020, Irreversible Damage was another book that came out. And she described this whole process and what the profile is of these young women who end up getting harmed by these interventions. So all of this was eminently preventable, but people kept suppressing dissenting voices. And it's been happening for over a decade. And I'm praising the Lord. I think it looks like maybe this fever is breaking.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are describing what could be characterized as a religious reaction to natural law as to who we are as human beings, and also the greed. There was someone from Family Research Council who said this was always about money, and I'm sure that plays a huge role. Yeah. We rush these children to these expensive surgeries, have them do it, but the censorship, the cancelization, and the pressure that's put on these physicians to take part in this has a religious fervor to it. There are heretics and there are Orthodox. And as you said, Denny, hopefully we're seeing the fever break. Hopefully this opens the dam wide open to further litigation and preventing more of these terrible procedures. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. I mean, just everybody watch right now, because what's going to happen is that these doctors, they're going to find it really hard to get insured now. Mm-hmm. If they do these kinds of procedures, they're not going to be able to have insurance anymore. They're going to be liable to being sued. Okay. That's what's about to happen. All right. Now I want you to see how many of those doctors continue doing these procedures now that it will no longer be profitable and may be risky. You tell me, do you really believe that the science was telling you a thing was helpful to people when as soon as it stops being profitable, you stop doing it? Right. So watch what happens. I'm telling you right now, I'm calling the shot. They're not going to keep doing this when it stops being profitable. They're going to stop. It's going to come to a screeching halt. And it's already been banned in like half the states, these for on minors. Yeah. But in the places where it's legal, it's going to stop.
Well, yep. And what we've got going on right now is, you know, all these cases are sitting around, and I think rightly so, because these are the primary victims of this harmful ideology is the minors. You know, this American Society of Plastic Surgeons position statement is related to not doing these surgeries until this individual turns 19. Same thing with the AMA. It's like inconclusive evidence around the effectiveness of these surgeries around for adolescents. Well, I think it's only a matter of time that we now move into what about just the transgender ideology in general?
Yes.
These surgeries, these hormonal therapies, they are not helping anybody, minors or otherwise. And the next front is going to be one of these cases being one with a mature adult who underwent one of these things, who is still experiencing so-called gender dysphoria, still experiencing psychological distress, because the reality is God made us male and female in his image to be men and women in his image. And there's no science, there's no psychology, there's no amount of new information that's going to change that. And the good connection that the church has always stood for, that Orthodox believers have always, even throughout all the gaslighting these last two decades, have always said is God made males to be men, God made females to be women, and that is good, and that is right, and that's beautiful. And I am very, very, again, glad that this gaslighting has quit. But I mean, think about all of the voices that put their reputations behind the veracity of this science and were absolutely absolute culture warriors against those kinds of people that would raise some kind of dissent. I mean, just go scroll J.K. Rowling's Twitter feed. She's still in the middle of this stuff where she is standing up for, you know, women's only spaces, standing up against a lot of these trans activists. And it's like, even still, even in the midst of all this news, people are trying to disassociate. You've got these Hollywood actors, denouncing her left and right. I think that as this space continues to move, as these victories are continuing to be won, I really do think the dam has broken. The dominoes are falling. I want to see how many people are intellectually honest to say, you know what, we got this wrong. Great harm was done under this ideology. And I am glad to see that this is not harming people any longer. That takes some bravery, and I'm waiting to see it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for this discussion. And to you, our listeners, thank you for joining us today. You can find more about what we do at cbmw.org.